The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son, listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. The mystery of the Transfiguration is presented to us in all three synoptic Gospels, which should suggest to us its importance, so seared into the memories of the early church that all three evangelists, the synoptic gospel writers, all included it in their texts. And traditionally, this mystery is usually cast in the light of what's called pledge of future glory. So meaning to say that since this event took place about 2 weeks or so before Palm Sunday and Holy Week, the idea was that before the apostles were about to witness the events of the passion and death of Jesus, the Lord gave them this gift, at least Peter, James, and John, this gift of the Transfiguration in order to steel their faith so that when the events of Good Friday took place, they would recall the events that we just heard in today's gospel. And you'll hear in the prayers for the rest of the Mass that this is how the church has traditionally cast this mystery, sort of this idea again of pledge of future glory. Of course, this particular mystery also led to some difficulties in the early church as she tried to grasp the person and nature of Jesus Christ. In fact, from this text, there was an entire heresy that broke out called Docetism. Docetism is a heresy that says that Jesus was not truly human, but he only appeared to be human, because as you see from the events of the Transfiguration, he's really divine. So he's not truly human, he appears to be human. Of course, what we know from the doctrine of the church based on Revelation is that Jesus is not a human person, in fact. He's a divine person, therefore having a divine nature, who assumes human nature with a true human body and a true human soul, true God and true man. That is the doctrine of the church. So all of these things have been part of the church's story and tradition in digesting the mystery of the Transfiguration. But what I'd like to focus on just for a few moments this morning, perhaps is sort of more of the spiritual meaning of the Transfiguration as we progress through the season of Lent, and in particular, perhaps more germane to you as it pertains to you as men in formation. If you notice what happens on the Mount of the Transfiguration, Mount Tabor, is that Jesus reveals his divinity to his apostles, his favorite, Peter, James, and John. And in this moment of spectacle, we also notice that there's a confirmation from the Father, right? Another passage, another version of this says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him," are the words that come from the heavens. So right away we're caught up in the spectacle of this revelation of Jesus' divinity. The ancients believed that the soul, the anima, was the spark of the divine in each of us. Somewhat analogous in a certain sense that, you know, our eternal destiny, right, our truest self, the self that was made for heaven, not some alternative personality, but who we are fully alive, fully glorified, our full destiny lies in heaven. We would love for the Father to say of all of us, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," especially as a future priest. Listen to him. I'm sure you'd love that for your parishioners to know, right? But there's this idea, too, that what Jesus is doing is he's revealing to us not only his identity, but in doing so, he's actually asking us to peer deeply into our true selves, into who we really are as known by God. You see, whether we realize it or not, we all have personas, certain masks we wear in life, because we want to appear a certain way to certain people. It's not necessarily duplicitous. Some of it is quite unconscious and, in a certain sense, natural. But there is the version of us that only God knows. Think about how you go through formation. I mean, one of the key values of formation is transparency. This idea that when we speak to you, we're trying to get a picture of who you really are, right? Not the fake seminarian, or the seminarian who appears one way, but then after ordination, completely turns into somebody else. Then the bishop wants to ask the formation faculty, "Why didn't you see this?" There are plenty of creative names that have been used over the years to describe such seminarians, right? But there's this idea here that, you see, the Lord knows us as only the Lord knows us. In a certain sense, as future priests, this is what is so powerful in a way about the sacrament of penance or being a spiritual director. Because there, when an individual lowers the veil, takes off all the masks, and reveals himself to their confessor, manifests conscience, you have a privileged place of knowing that person as they are known to God. No facades, no masks, no appearances, analogous to Jesus as he truly is, true God and true man. And this is part of the Lenten experience, right? It's the peeling away of all of the facades, all of the masks, all of the different personas, that layer upon layer that we put upon ourselves, on ourselves, in order to present ourselves to others as being a certain way. But of course, this can leave us rather vulnerable and can lead us rather exposed, if you like. This is a difficulty because we prefer the safety of hiding behind the mask, hiding behind the persona. So as you go through formation, the question you constantly have to ask is, am I really being genuine? Am I really being authentic? Am I really being who I really am? And of course, the answer to that question and how that's supposed to come about is always best informed vis-a-vis the Lord. Right? He is the man. And he is the standard to whom we all aspire. This is what the saints did. All saints, every man, woman, and child, aspired to exactly the standard of Jesus Christ. That's why in yesterday's gospel we hear those words, "Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," the standard of the saints. So let us pray today that as we delve and peer deeply into the mystery of the Transfiguration, that it'll remain much more than just a mere spectacle. I mean, the events are just breathtaking and amazing. But there's more to it. It has a deep application for each of us. Might we risk the vulnerability and have the courage to show forth who we truly are, that spark of the divine that resides in all of us, our human soul. And may this Lenten season find it cleansed and purified, humble, sincere, and honest as we approach the holiest week of our church's liturgical calendar, celebrating the greatest mysteries of our faith.